Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are weak, hope makes us strong. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be. When the darkness came to take our hope away, away. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are waiting,
good evening, folks, and welcome to Hope is Alive, coming to you live here this Wednesday night. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Well, good evening, Richard. How's the weather up your way?
You know, we are just west of all that severe weather that's hitting Kansas and Nebraska and the Dakotas. They have actual tornado warnings tonight and tomorrow, and we are just beautiful. Partly cloudy. The mosquito planes came today, praise the Lord, and sprayed for the mosquitoes. And so, whew, they're gone. And so we are beautiful. I'm looking out the windows, green grass, partly blue skies, that baby blue Wyoming sky. I think that's where that term baby blue came from, is the Wyoming sky most of the time. And so it's beautiful out here. We are abundantly blessed with just great weather.
Oh, it's wonderful weather up there in
How about there in Oklahoma?
Well, it's hot and dusty. Even though we have had some rain, it's 92 degrees right now. Here it is, a little after 9 in the evening. It's been a pretty hot day, but there have been some scattered showers that'll cool it down, and then here comes the heat again. It's been some heat advisories out, but I love Wyoming. You know, I told you I backpacked in the Bridger Forest up there, and it's wonderful country. You are blessed to be there, brother.
We are. It's a balmy 70 degrees, and low of 46 tonight. That is good sleeping weather for July, let me tell you. God is sure good to us, and So yes, no complaints there. And well, I got your email or text. I see we have a couple callers here for tonight, and we'll sure keep an eye out on the phone lines when they call in. I think Barbara here in about 10 minutes might be calling in.
Yeah, there's a lady from Connecticut.
Yeah.
Calling in at about 15 after the hour, another one at 9:35. Well, we had 14 cases at Deliverance Ministries the last time we met. We didn't meet on the 4th of July, of course. But I was just thinking, I did have an interesting deliverance with a 17-year-old. I guess it's been a couple of weeks ago, and it was before the 4th of July, and he had stomach problems that no doctors could figure out what it was, and insomnia, and even some suicidal thoughts. We always know where that's coming from.
Yes.
And, gosh, had marvelous ministry with him. He was just 17 years old, and he was at the ministry office. His eyes actually rolled white in the manifestations a number of times. I got the head demon up, which was called disruption. Kind of an unusual head demon, but it kind of fits the category of they want to disrupt in a Christian's life. This young man is already born again, spirit-filled. And anyway, it went really well, and I talked to his mom today, and he has no more insomnia, which had been a big problem. The stomach problems have disappeared. And, you know, I'm just praising the Lord. That's her Jesus. You know, how many more out there, there's something spiritual going on, and they'll go to doctors, and we believe in doctors, but, you know, when they can't find anything, it's certainly suspicious. It's the enemy playing games.
Yeah, and it goes, you know, we've really been encouraging people to read their Bible. And when you mention that, when, you know, anybody, especially teenagers, but anybody has suicidal thoughts, that is straight from the pits of hell. And one part of that is recognizing that for what it is. You know, that it's not of Christ. It's not part of the good news. It's not the voice of truth. It's the lies that come you know, we have to be able to recognize that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum,
yes,
you have Jesus Christ, who came to give life and life abundant. You know, that means with joy and with peace and with comfort. Doesn't mean without trials and tribulations, but it is still with that contentment and that joy and that happiness that that we can have through Christ Jesus, and we should have through Christ Jesus.
Amen. It's all in the scriptures. If
yes,
we just follow them and do them, and I still have to pinch myself. I know I've said this many times, but it's so true. I have to punch myself to keep realizing that Jesus gave just us Christians the power of authority in His name to cast out evil spirits, to speak directly to healing situations in His name, and we see immediate results while we watch in so many cases. And we see that over, and I've seen 38 years of it now, and it's a little hard to talk me out of it, but it doesn't work.
Well, the old saying, the proof is in the pudding, you know.
Amen.
It's by their fruits you shall know them. And, you know, the fruits of Christ remain. It's as simple as that. The fruits of Christ remain. And, you know,
yes,
praise the Lord that He does. And, you know, it is. This deliverance that you speak of and that you teach and you write of in your book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, it's, you know, it's a little different for some Christians. It is. But, you know, when, and I've spoken to several that, you know, have shared those thoughts with me, and it's like, well, you know, when you first became a Christian and you started reading the Bible, weren't there a few things in there that maybe you didn't know before, you know, that you had to kind of readjust your way of thinking and kind of expand your understanding? And, you know, we are to to always be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Certainly growing in His grace.
Amen.
But also in His knowledge, in the knowledge of who He is and what He does and what He wants us to do.
The good news is more and more Christians are learning the power in the gospel where we can speak directly to these situations. John 14:12, a great scripture where Jesus, He said, "He that believeth in Me, the works that I do, he shall do also." He went on to say, "Even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father."
Yes.
And in essence, Jesus went to sit on the right hand of the Father. He gave us this power of attorney in His name to do these things that He did while He was here. And what did He do? Well, He certainly cast out a lot of evil spirits.
Yes.
People have figured out He spent about a third of His time doing that kind of ministry. He healed the sick. And while He did it directly, of course, now we are to do it directly in His name. How awesome is that?
It is pretty awesome. It is. I like there in John 14, you were reading a little bit later in verse 18, He says, "I will not leave you as orphans." And, you know, because He must have told the disciples that, because maybe that's what they were thinking. That, you know, oh no, He's going to leave us and we're going to be, you know, we're going to be out here like an orphan, you know, without somebody to take care of us. But He's talking here about sending the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And, you know, we are still, I can tell you, I am still learning about the Helper, about the Intercessor, about the Holy Spirit. You know, I think we all are. But the more you read, the more we understand it.
As we speak in Jesus' name, it's the Holy Spirit's power that goes forth to accomplish what was spoken. And He is our Helper. He's our Comforter. He's many, many things.
Yes.
You know, I have that handout that has a list of what the Holy Spirit brings, and it's a full page of nice stuff.
You know? Oh, absolutely,
and
it is.
Praise God, that's for all Christians. Many Christians, just as I didn't know about the Holy Spirit until age 44. I was born again when I was 13, but I'm still learning what all that means, and it sure is good news.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then just after it, because I opened up my Bible to John when you read that, in John 15:26, it's Christ speaking, and He says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify about Me, and you will testify also, because you have been with Me from the beginning." And that word Helper, the reference, it's, I can't quite make it out in the Greek, parakleontos or something, and it says, "One called alongside to help," or comforter, advocate, intercessor. And isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? It helps us. The Spirit of Christ, it helps us. That's what it's there for. That's why He sent it, because He loves us. And He wants to help. You know, just like a father wants to help his children and wants them to be happy and healthy and you know, abiding in goodness. Just
Richard, while we're talking here, I just pulled out that handout, and here's what the Holy Spirit brings: power to witness, comforts, leads us in all truth, brings us remembrance, convicts us of sin, shows us the future, brings us wisdom, brings us joy, leads us, gives us peace, sanctifies us, teaches us, gives us kindness, gives us miracles and gifts, speaks to us, moves us, builds us up, anoints us, speaks through us, teaches us what to say, teaches us all things. And those all have the scriptural reference that goes with it. So,
amen.
Is that a nice package or what?
Oh, that is. That is. It is. It is awesome and wonderful and marvelous. Well, we've got a caller. Let's bring the caller on. Hey, good evening, caller. Welcome to the program.
Hello, this is Barbara.
Well, good evening, Barbara.
Good evening. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm blessed, and I know you are, too, up there in Connecticut.
Yes, highly blessed.
I really appreciate you calling in, Barbara, and I was wondering if you would share how you first learned about this this works of Jesus called deliverance, how you've seen that it's a reality and how it can help people. I know you were born again a number of years back, but you might share all that if you would, and we'd all like to hear your story.
Okay, yes. I got saved in 1960, and I was not looking to get saved, but Jesus met right there. And so when I started to go to church,
Barbara,
I remember
Barbara, could you back off a little bit from the phone? Could you back off a little bit from the phone? It's over-deviating, I think.
I put it on speaker.
Well, it's just back off from not so close to the phone.
Okay. Well, I remember seeing somebody at church come in, and it was on a prayer night, and this person started manifesting some demon activity, so they took her into an area they were praying for. That was the first time I'd seen anything like that. And then another time on a prayer night, they would go down to the choir room. And then when I went to Brownsville Revival services, I remember seeing people being delivered.
Barbara,
I'll let her know there. Hey, Barbara. Can you hear me? Barbara,
yes.
Can you hear me? We've got a real bad phone connection. Could I get you to maybe hang up and call us right back, and I'll bring it in on another line, because it's
okay.
Well, I'm only getting about every other word, and the words I'm getting are interesting. I sure want to hear them. So, if you would do that, call us right back, and
okay, I will.
Okay, thanks. All right, we'll see if that'll work, and see if we can bring her in. I've got a second line here. I can bring her in on, and we'll try that.
Okay, sometimes they're just talking too close.
Right.
And overdriving it.
Right. Right. So we'll see how this
works.
I've
done the same thing myself. Yeah, Sheila, I have an interesting story. And then she recently even came down to Oklahoma City and received ministry. So.
Oh, great. Well, let's try this. And hey, good evening. This is Richard.
Hi, this is Barbara Dockenhausen.
Now, that sounds a little better, I think.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Great, let's try that.
Start over.
All right,
over, Barbara,
I remember when I got saved in 1980, I wasn't familiar with anything to do with deliverance or anything like that. But when I went to church, I remember seeing some people that came in a couple times that I had gotten set free by somebody just praying with them, and that was my first experience. And what it is they just took this person to the side, and they didn't want other people to be fearful. And I think that's the thing, is they're not being taught, people are not being taught about deliverance, so there's an awful lot of fear among the brethren with it, because they didn't have any exposure to that. And then when I went to Brownsville Revival services, I remember seeing and hearing a lot of that. And I hear demons and being manifested, people screaming and people being set free during the worship time even. And through then they had the prayer time after, and people were being set free. And then when I went on the mission field, I went to Guadalupe and Martinique, and especially Martinique, I saw a lot of people that were demon-possessed walking down the streets. And then in services, I could not believe it, the stuff that was going on during worship, and I mean, people were screaming, and the enemy was really active that day. But they, all of those people were set free, and I looked around. I see people out in the spirit. And then when I was ministering one time in another church in Martinique, people came up and they were having prayer, and as they laid hands on them, they would just fall out in the spirit. They would be manifesting, and we'd pray on them, and they'd be set free. There was a lot of stuff that I seen. But I do know God is real, and these people need to be set free, and God wants to set the captives free. So I do believe in it. I mean, even when I had my church, you know, we believe that we had guests that, you know, was very strong in deliverance. And, you know, and God wants to break those chains and set people free.
Amen. Amen. Well, how did you happen to hear about Deliverance Ministries, Barbara?
Well, I heard, you know, through another person about your ministry. Is this what we're talking about, the one in Oklahoma City? And so I wanted to go because I wanted to experience, you know, firsthand for myself. And I heard wonderful things. I even read your book. And so I wanted to go there myself because of some things that I wanted to have taken care of. And so I had prayer. And, you know, and God moved in some areas that I thought that were taken care of, they were not. You know, and I was just amazed to, you know, see, you know, that how liberating I could be, you know, through that prayer time. And when I came back home, you know, I felt different. And even on the way home, I felt different. And I had an excellent experience there, you know. And it's, I'm just feeling clean and feeling refreshed, you know, and I know the Lord did something awesome.
Barbara, when you were ministered to, could you tell that there were spirits coming out or what went on?
Well, what had happened was when this beautiful lady, one of your team members prayed with me and she called forth for the main one to come forward, nothing happened in that way. And so then she did another kind of prayer, and then I would just repeat that and by meant that, and then some things that she would say, it would just hit something there, and then we pray that through, and then that would be taken care of, and then we go on to something else, and so through that way, and you know, I had things that needed to be taken care of, like soul ties. I didn't have an understanding of what a really soul tie was, but I knew that when I had that prayer, the Lord had taken care of some of those soul ties, you know, and friendships and things, you know, that, of the past, and God, you know, took care of that, and he showed me a couple visions, you know, about that as well. And also, he took me back even as a little girl and how he was there even when I didn't think he was. The Lord was still there. And it was just so precious in what he had said to me, you know. So
praise God.
Experience really wonderful. And so even in the beginning when we had the door closing prayer and all that, and I think when you were speaking, I mean, something that you had said had really touched my heart, and I started crying, you know, before even anything began, before I even met with this woman, you know, just have her pray.
Oh.
I mean, it just, I know God was working right there in the beginning, and that's so precious about the Lord. He just loves us so very much, and he wants us to be set free. He wants us to be liberated.
Yes.
And walk in the freedom of him and not be bound. Sometimes we don't even know that we're stuck or we're going through something. We just don't realize that.
A lot of times people, they have what we call a familiar spirit. So they've had them so long they become familiar and they don't realize it's of the enemy, but it would have negative characteristics. And, you know, we find most people get free of a good 36 problem areas, which it's kind of what we call the Jesus overhaul. There's no way you wouldn't be better, you know, being a several dozen different problem areas, which turn out to be the names of spirits, gone, and usually in one evening. So you feel like you got one of those Jesus overhauls, Barbara?
Definitely. Yes, definitely.
And, you know, and that's what, you know, it feels good to walk in the freedom of the Lord, you know, and to be liberated in the areas that once were, you know, where I was stuck. And I think God wanted me to be in Oklahoma, and I'm hoping to be there again, not really long ago, not from now, I should say.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear you're thinking about moving down this way and even becoming one of our team leaders. It'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
We need an army. I talked to two ladies this week that they're coming to help us as a team leader go through the training. So we're always building, and I'm believing, you know, instead of doing the usual 15 or so on a Monday night, we're going to be doing double that, and we just need more ministers. So we need you down here.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it. Yes, definitely.
Well, Barbara, you think have you had a chance to try to minister to anyone up there in Connecticut?
Yes, I have. Many times I've prayed with people for deliverance. It's something that I'm not afraid of, and I think we need more of in this area in Connecticut. I think what it is I truly believe that a lot of the people, a lot of the churches around here, they just don't have it, and they're afraid of it. And, you know, so... this is what Jesus believed in that was part of his ministry. And yes, I'm not afraid to pray with somebody, and I like to do that. I like to see them set free.
Amen. Well, that Luke 10:19 is still a great one for everybody to memorize, where Jesus told us in his name that we have all power over the enemy, talking about the demonic. And even the promise following that, that says that nothing shall by any means harm you. Well, if you really buy that as a truth and accept it, there's not going to be any fear to go with it, and we find out we're the ones with the big guns to deal with the enemy. So that is important scripture for people to learn, I feel, and yes, say it a lot.
Yes, it's true. And I think, you know, there's so many people that, that are walking around that are believers that need to have prayer, you know, for different things in their life, because we're when we're saved, our spirit is saved, but the soul needs to get taken care of. And a lot of times, you know, people look like they're okay, and talking about church people, and a lot of times they're fearful to admit that they have these things that are bothering them, because sometimes they feel that they should be above that or beyond that. And what is people going to think about them if they go up and have prayer for that? You know, but we have to get beyond that.
There's always that going on out there with various people, but the ones we minister to are those that get so tormented, they're ready to try, strange as all this sounds. And sure enough, in one evening, they so typically can unload their problem areas, including sickness. We cast out a lot of spirits of infirmity, just as Jesus did in Luke 13:11-12. And we do the same thing. Just before you came on, I was talking about a 17-year-old young man I ministered to before the 4th of July, that week before, and he was having stomach problems, and a spirit of infirmity was one of the spirits that was there that I was able to cast out, and now his stomach problems are gone. And how much of that, as Richard and I were talking, how much of that is going on out there? Most people are never suspicious that it might be the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need that. Because I know there's a
I'm sure that the ground is there's the fields are fertile in Connecticut as well as Oklahoma, Barbara, to help the people.
Definitely.
And there's plenty of tormented people that you can find that are ready to try anything, especially where it doesn't cost anything.
You know, absolutely. The price is right. It was already paid for at the cross by our Jesus.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I agree. Yes.
And I know your friend Kevin is excited about doing this works of Jesus. So I imagine before you move to Oklahoma that you can probably team up on some hurting people there in Connecticut.
Yeah, we're already doing that.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, for people, yes, we have been. And there's a list of people. We thank God for that. You know, that we do that. And he's quite a prayerful man.
And, you know, if a person will just follow the steps in my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, those steps that we use at Deliverance Ministries here in Oklahoma City are in there, and they, you know, we've done deliverance a lot of different ways, but the model of deliverance that we use today is in the book, and it's time tested, and it's pretty easy to learn it and then do. And all Christians can do it. It's not a special gift thing, as we've learned. It's normal Christianity.
Well, the other evening, we had the opportunity to be at somebody's home, and it's a friend of Kevin's, and he was able to go in there and pray in each room. And he and I went into this one room. It was like a basement. I guess it was called the garage area. And I smelled something that smelled like Vicks Vapor Rub. And I said, Kevin, do you smell a Vicks? He said, yes. But the other two people didn't smell any of that. But he and I did. You know, so we knew it was a spirit of infirmity or something was going on in that room. So we cast that thing out. You know.
Did
so that
he
was very
feel
different.
Something come out?
Yes. Yeah.
Did he feel it? He did?
There was something in that room. Yes. There's all kinds of stuff that was in that room. But we both smelled that Vicks smell. And the other people that were standing with us didn't smell that. But he and I smelled it. It was in the spirit, you know what I'm saying?
Well, some people do smell these spirits. Some of our team leaders, they have that gift of smelling them.
I never experienced smelling. I know what the enemy can smell like, but I never smelled Vicks.
That is a new one. There's always something.
It was new one for him and I.
A phrase I keep saying a lot is, "I'm not surprised at anything." There's always something new that we run into, but I guess that's what makes it interesting as well. It's not a routine thing at all. You learn the basics and apply them to all those situations, though, and they'll still work.
So anyways, that house did get taken care of that night, and it was nice and clean when we left. So we went to every room.
Yeah, praise God.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the fun part of it is hearing the testimonies and how people's lives have changed as a result.
Yeah, we pray for them too, and we haven't heard from them. So we're thinking everything's okay.
Oh,
God is good.
I'm going to pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you before we wind up here, anything else you'd like to tell the listeners, Barbara, about this works of Jesus? Any other thoughts?
Well, I would just say if the listeners out there, you know, need some kind of a deliverance of some sort, you know, not to be afraid to have it. To be able to come to a ministry that offers it and be able to be set free so that they can be more productive for the Lord and they don't have to be afraid of anything because God is the one that's there and he's the one that helps us through all of that so that we become all of what Jesus wants us to be so that we can go out and do the kingdom work. that's what God wants us to
Amen.
Do. He wants us to be set free so that we can do the further work of the Lord.
Yes, and of course that's what the enemy has in mind, is to block our God-given gifts and our destinies. And they're doing a pretty good job on the body of Christ as a whole. Imagine everybody getting set free, what we'd be like.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank
because,
you, Barbara, for calling in. Go ahead.
Yes, if the enemy can keep people bound and stifled, then they are not going to be productive for the kingdom of God. But if they're set free, they can do that much more for God and advance God's
Amen.
Kingdom.
So true.
Thank you, Barbara.
Well, Barbara, thank you for calling in from Connecticut up there, and have a blessed evening, and we'll stay in touch.
Okay, and God bless you and your ministry and everyone that has had ministry from you.
Thanks, Barbara.
Bye.
And, Pastor, we have Renee on. Good evening, Renee.
Hi.
Hi, Renee.
Hi, how are you doing?
Well, we're blessed, and thanks for calling in. Did you get your cell phone charged up any?
No, I think I'll be okay, though. Because
okay.
I'm not in an area where I can charge it.
I see. I always kind of plug mine in a little before to be sure. Well, Renee, you're here in Oklahoma City, and I appreciate you calling in to if you could, just share how you first came into the knowledge of this works of Jesus that's so often called deliverance, that is the casting out of evil spirits and physical healing. So just share whatever you're comfortable with, if you would, and how you learned
okay.
about it and experiences.
Well, let's see. I was in the military. I was in the Navy for 21 and a half years. And I retired in 2008 from the Navy. And at that time is when I decided the Lord started drawing me closer to Him, and I wanted to surrender my life to Him. At that time, I also received, I retired in July of 2008, and that same month I received baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And I was going to a church at that time, but they didn't allow you to speak in tongues out loud in the church. So I really was kind of, you know, and I didn't really have the knowledge I needed of the Bible. I was fairly new. You know, I'd been saved early on in my life, but being in the Navy, I kind of drifted away from the Lord, and I really never had that foundation of the Word in my, you know, in my life. So I fell into the demonic pit and didn't even realize it. I was speaking in tongues, and the enemy had came to me, and I thought it was God because a voice started talking to me. I didn't really have that fellowship with other believers like I should have. Not really anyone to tell them, hey, this is what's going on. Is this right or wrong? I didn't have that type of fellowship with anyone. And so the enemy came to me and started talking to me, and I thought it was God because it was a voice that actually came to me, and I didn't really know how to hear God's voice. And I kept hearing on, you know, Christian news stations that other Christians, they would always refer to, well, God told me this, God told me that. So I thought, oh, well, He must talk to you in a voice. And so the enemy came to me, just the audible voices, me and you and speaking, came to me and said that I'm God. And so I thought it was God. I didn't really know what demons were. I didn't know anything. And so I opened the door to a lying spirit. At that time, I didn't know it was a lying spirit. I thought it was God. It told me it was God. It told me it was the Holy Spirit. And it would tell me what to do. And it also told me that it was going to prepare me to fight the devil and to listen to everything it said and to do whatever it told me to do. And so I started listening to it, and I did everything it told me to do. It told me to go right, I went right. It told me to go left, I went left. And unfortunately, I did a lot of things, stupid things, because you can only imagine if the enemy was telling you what to do all the time, you know, what the enemy would actually have you do. And I didn't know any better. I was so naive, and the enemy knew that. And the enemy knew that, you know, I was prey. And he came in and just wreaked havoc in my life, in my spiritual walk with the Lord. And I just, you know, finally, whenever the enemy was revealed, and, you know, I had so many things that happened to me. You know, the enemy had blew this funky smell in my face, and I just went into a panic attack. I actually went to the emergency room, and I kind of had told my pastor at that time what was going on a little bit, and he told me, don't tell the doctor the truth because they'll put you in a mental institution. So I didn't tell the doctor the truth. You know, I just said, well, I'm having a hard transition with leaving the military. And so I could actually feel things in the spirit realm. I could smell things. I could hear things. But yet I still didn't know that it was really, you know, that voice I thought was God, even though I had all this demonic stuff going on around me. I mean, I had layers and layers of bondage that I opened the door to. And when the Lord showed me that it was not him, it took about 3-4 months, about 4 months, that, you know, during that period, my dog died because I didn't give my dog insulin shots, because that voice told me that my dog was healed and not to give her a shot. And, I mean, I could just tell you story after story of what havoc that the enemy did on my life. But to give God the glory, you know, he intervened, and he told me, this is not me. I was actually at a Benny Hinn crusade, and I took my mother with me. And I just had this overwhelming desire to tell her everything that happened, because the enemy told me, don't tell anybody about this. And so I just had this overwhelming desire to tell her, Mom, this is what's been going on. And as soon as I did, she said, Renee, you have a lion spirit. And all of a sudden, I was on the floor in convulsions, convulsing, because the demons in me had been found out. I had never had that happen before. I mean, then all of a sudden, the demons started speaking through me. And, you know, there were people there. They were praying for me. And I had no idea what was going on, because I'd never dealt with anything demonic in my life. I didn't even know that demons existed. But I had a rude awakening that night that demons are real, and that angels are real, demons are real. The supernatural realm is real. And my eyes were open that night. And, you know, at that point, I had some people that were trying to talk to me, give me advice on what to do. And at that point, I knew I had to seek out help, but I didn't know what to do. And I remember hearing, and I know it was God, you know, I can look back and I know, I just heard something say, go online and look up Deliverance Ministry. And I thought, Deliverance Ministry, you know, I didn't know what that was. And so I went online and I typed in Deliverance Ministry. And there were two places in Oklahoma that it said had Deliverance Ministry. And one of them was Deliverance Ministry with Everett Cox. And I went to the website and I looked it over. You know, even had sent Pastor Everett, a email and let him know my situation. And he was like, yeah, I'll come on down to, you know, our Monday night session. So I went ahead and I went down. And they had probably about 3 or 4 ministers with me. And we just went through a lot of things and just went through, you know, trying to get to the root of what had happened and break off all these curses, all these demonic bondages that were on me. And that was where my start, the start began for my freedom. And this was in 2008. So at the end of 2008, December, I want to say time frame is when I went to Deliverance Ministries. And just that short period from July to December, I opened up the door to the demonic. but it has taken me up until now to gain freedom in those areas of those doors I opened. Because not only did I do that, I opened up doors when I was in the military because I just didn't know any better. And I brought home items. I was stationed in Japan. I was around Buddhism. And I brought home so many items that had to do with Shinto religion or Buddhism. I also bought back items when I lived in San Diego from Mexico, the Aztec Indian stuff. Gods, you know, on my chessboard, pictures of gods that I didn't even know it was pictures of gods. I was stationed in Italy. I went over to Bahrain, which is in the Middle East, and I actually had a prayer rug, and I had a little Muslim prayer clock, you know, Islam prayer clock that would go off and make the prayer call for the, you know, the religion, and I had so many things in my house that were just abominations to the Lord. And so he had to start working through me on cleaning out my house, cleaning me out, and just getting all that bondage off of me. And deliverance ministry was my start into my freedom. And I've learned so much through deliverance ministry and being able to actually, you know, it started out me getting ministered to, but then I loved it so much because I wanted people to know the truth and to be set free. So I started ministering to other people that were in bondage. And so many times we don't even know, you know, that we're in the bondage that we're in, or we don't know how to get help. And, you know, deliverance ministry is there to get your confidence back, to get your freedom back. The enemy stole me. He stole my confidence. He stole my personality. I mean, I just felt like dirt on the floor, and it was hard getting back up to where I am right now and who I am in Christ. But deliverance ministry was my start and starting point of getting where I needed to go. Because as I was ministering to people, you know, the Lord was actually taking bondage off of me also. And it's been a journey, and it's been a long walk. But, you know, the Lord has slowly been just taking off. It wasn't immediate freedom. That's not how it happened for me. Some people get delivered instantly. There were things that I did get delivered of instantly, but a lot of it has just been came through God's timing and his grace on my life. And I just thank him for, you know, intervening upon my life in this area. And I just thank God for showing me that deliverance ministry, you know, with Everett Cox leading me to him. Because if I had never done that, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I just thank the Lord for that.
And life is good. I know you're in the mortgage business now, having retired out of the Navy. By the way, Renee was a Navy chief, which is quite an accomplishment. As a former naval officer, I can really appreciate that. It's the chiefs that really run the Navy. the officers get various orders, but it's the chiefs that make it run. Is that a fair statement, Renee?
That's right. That's right. So I was a very confident person because, you know, I led people and I had people under me. So I was a very confident person. And then the enemy just really wreaked havoc on my life. And it's taken this long for me to get my confidence back up. And I'm not 100% back to where I was before, but I am almost there. And I just thank God for, you know, not giving up on me and keeping me going and showing me what I need to do to keep my freedom, because it's, you know, it's been a hard walk, but I thank God, you know, even though it's been a hard journey, there are so many people out there who are suffering, who are in pain, who are in bondage, who need help. And, you know, the Lord's been able to use me to help other people. And I just thank the Lord for that, even though it's been a hard journey. You know, it's been something great that's come out of it. he's been able to birth something great out of this experience, and it's bonded me so much closer to the Lord in a way that I wouldn't have been able to do, you know, had, you know, this not happened.
And Renee, how good do you feel when you've had an opportunity to minister to someone and you see them get rid of all kinds of problems? How good does that make you feel?
Oh, it makes me feel awesome. And, you know, and to be able to pray for somebody, for them to also receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to speak in tongues, you know, that is awesome. Or to be able to pray for them and the Lord used, you know, worked through me to heal them from trauma, from, you know, bondage, whatever it is they're going through, and to actually use me, you know, to heal them of whatever ailment, physical ailment they've got. It just, I mean, I love it because I want to see everybody free from the torment, the harassment, the bondage of the enemy.
Yes. Well, you've been there, and you know what it's like, so you really appreciate it big time. That's awesome, Renee, and that's a wonderful testimony, and sharing it with the listeners out there, no doubt there are people that can relate to some
right.
of the things you were mentioning, and give them hope as well to reach out and get ministry. There are many people that are set free in one evening. Everybody different, as we
right.
learned. Some people have to come back a number of times. We run into some like that, and it just varies all over the place. Some
right.
people just have more layers, so to speak, to pull off, like onion layers. You know,
that's it too, and that's what the Lord did. He was just removing layers of bondage, and you know, and when it's like that, you don't want to give up. You want to keep coming to deliverance ministry. You know, don't just come the one time and then give up. You know, keep coming back because the Lord, He respects that and He honors that, you know, that you're trying, and He will remove what you're, you know, dealing with.
Yes, so true. And you know, a lot of times people they don't really know. They hear about demon spirits. They don't realize that so typically they're connected to some type of a problem area. Each demon having some specialty. Some might be anger spirits or fear spirits or depression
right.
spirits and just some promote suicide and stress, and I mean it just goes on and on that
right, and they all have an assignment, and
yeah,
you know,
now,
and I just thank
one.
God for just, you know, revealing to me what I was dealing with, and a lot of mine was fear based also, but the lying, you know, you got deceptive spirits that deceive you, and they deceived me, blinded me. You know, you've got your lying spirits that lie to you about things, and of course, depression, suicide.
Yes.
There's just so many different
yes.
types of spirits that are out there, but, you know, we have victory through Christ Jesus and what He did for us on the cross, and a lot of it has
yes.
to do with the lies that we believe, because, you know, our mind's not aligned up with the Word. And that's what the Lord's shown me, too, is a lot of my issues were just my mindset and what I was believing. Because in Christ
and, you know,
Jesus, we already
spirit,
have the freedom.
That lying spirit, Renee, is a real common one. I was telling about a young man I ministered to before the 4th of July, and I had it give me the top 10 lies that was speaking into his head, and I wrote them down for him. And the demon admitted the opposite was true, and that seems to be it. In fact, as I recall, when I ministered to you, I was able to get hold of the head demon, and it disclosed the lie program.
Yes, it did. It disclosed a lot, and it was just, you know, and I'm in your book. You have me in your book as like the lady, I think it's Lady B in your book, for the deceptive spirit, because that was, I think, the head demon that you had come up that talked was that deceptive spirit. Because I was, believing lies, and I was very, very, very deceived. But, you know, God brought truth, and I just thank God that you were there to be able to help me, you know, on my road to recovery.
Well, that's our Jesus, and as I was able to help you, now you're, in turn, can help hundreds and hundreds of them out there, Renee. It's kind of a network thing in a way. As we learn, then we can we get free ourselves, and then we can minister to the others around us that are have these problem areas in their lives, blocking their lives. It's high adventure, isn't it, Renee?
What's that again?
It's high adventure, amen?
Yes, it is a high adventure. It is definitely an adventure. And, you know, I just never knew that this aspect of the Christianity existed. So it just amazes me. And it is real. It is very real.
Amen.
The spiritual realm is real, and there's so much activity going on. And, you know, and you have to have the Word. You know, the Word is life. It's power. And it's so important to have that Word in you, rooted in
you.
The
truth of the Word, of who you are in Jesus. And those I Am's, those are a grouping of scriptures, is on our website under Ministry Tools, if you go to it. It's deliveranceusa.com, and go to Ministry Tools. And you'll find what's called I Am, and it's just scriptures, a grouping of scriptures of who we are in Jesus. And if you really learn those of who we are, then you're not going to buy the lies. I've had demons even tell me that. And so it's so important to have that word base of the truth of who we are in Jesus to counter the enemy. Well, Renee, thank you for sharing. We're about to run out of time
here. Yes,
we are.
We're out of time tonight. Renee, thank you so much.
I thank you so much, and bless you all.
All right, God bless.
And God bless you.
Well, Pastor Cox, there's another evening. God bless. Have a great evening, and we'll be looking for some more of those fish pictures. Boy, we saw those trout. Those look nice.
Well, certainly a good fun catching them. It wasn't easy. I had to work hard.
That's right. Nothing good ever is. Well, thanks again.
Sometimes ministry is like that.
Absolutely.
God bless your brother.
All right. God bless. Good night.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive. September morn,
in the town.